A tropical shower pours down on Byron Bay. The afternoon sky has turned dark. It's late summer 2012, and I'm standing on the first floor balcony of the Byron Community Center, hot and sweaty from dancing. I stretch my arms out into the rain. Cold drops kiss my skin. This, I think, is how I always want to be. It's a promise to myself, or a prayer. I slow my breath down and wipe the rain over my face. People laugh and cheer somewhere, and music pumps in the room behind me where I have just been jumping about. Something happened for me during the ecstatic dance session while I met other eyes and open smiles around me. I'm on a euphoric high from this energy orgy without any stimulants in my system, not even a coffee. My inner cynic, a stowaway wherever I go, has vanished. I feel so incredibly alive, connected to the world like never before. Vibrating is the word they use at this festival called Taste of Love, at which I arrived the day before. A week earlier, I wasn't sure if I would last at a trans-Tasman get-together of tantric teachers, sexual healers, and shamanic practitioners. It is held annually in the heart of the Rainbow Region in Australia, a part of northeastern New South Wales colonized by the Flower Power generation, who turned it into a tie-dyed cliché full of crystal shops. It's not really my scene. I don't speak New Age. I married a doctor, and as a journalist who trades in facts, I'm by default skeptical of anything esoteric. Ask me my star sign and I give you an eye roll. My spiritual journey, another term that makes me cringe, has not expanded much beyond meditation and yoga classes. Now I'm in this Antipodean Vegas of commercialized spirituality, attending sex and consciousness workshops for a magazine assignment. I will write it under a pseudonym. The stage in the main hall is decorated with a purple velvet sofa, frou-frou lamps, and other boudoir paraphernalia. A dozen talks on the stage revolve around orgasm and ecstasy of the natural kind. Drugs and booze are taboo, and the festival plus this whole world has its own language. I learn that conscious does not mean coming out of a coma, but being emotionally aware or present, another favorite. By lunchtime, I've grasped that female ejaculation is the nectar of the gods and the anus a portal for dark divinity. A woman named Jessica Galactic Butterfly holds a workshop full of deep exhalation sounds. In another room, the Youth Speak Forum hosts a panel about sex education that demands young people need more knowledge than just rolling condoms over bananas. It's brave stuff. As my reservations fade, I make curious contact with a crowd around me who are predominantly clad in flowing silks and purple cotton. I begin to throw words like transformation and energy into my conversations. In the break, I browse a store that sells delicate pussy purses made from pink satin, complete with a little pearl. Other conferences offer golf tournaments for a social event. This one has a lover's mask ball with outrageous sexy costumes, and as the opening act, the practice of deep eye gazing in a big circle. When I leave at midnight, I'm intoxicated by what the shiny, happy people here call life energy. Something clicked. There's nothing to mock. My first and unsuccessful attempt at neo-tantra, the westernized, body-focused appropriation of ancient tantra teachings, was 15 years ago in a bleak gym hall in Hamburg. I was reluctant to hug total strangers on the spot. It seemed forced and artificial. I quit the group after the first exercise, repulsed by a guy in a sweaty t-shirt next to me who was rolling his hips to Enya-style music while moaning loudly. This was just after breakfast. How do these people do this? I wondered, letting themselves go like this. Here I am, 15 years later, letting myself go like this. Making sounds, rolling my hips to music, unblocking my kundalini energy, and not embarrassed at all. Instead of yuck, it feels yum. The next morning, I almost forget to put clothes on before crossing the road to the beach for an early swim. 2 days in neo-tantra land, and my inhibitions dissolve like sand in the waves. The highlight of the last day is a paunchy bald man who looks like a friendly vacuum cleaner salesman. He has published a picture book about yonis, the Sanskrit and New Age term for women's genitals. He specializes in body de-armoring to help women experience energetic full-body orgasms. We get a demonstration with a blonde conference organizer acting as guinea pig. She takes off her sarong and lies naked on a table in the middle of the auditorium, her eyes closed. When she goes into a kind of trance, the sexual healer starts to move his hands not on but above her body, like a magician, occasionally touching pressure points on her throat or knees. She soon heaves and moans, her body shivers, and she clearly comes. Over 100 people watch in silence with utter reverence. There are no sniggers, no heavy breathing. It feels dignified, not dodgy. What makes sex sacred is not the incense, soft background music, or candles. It's your full attention. Without any indoctrination, coercion, or sneaky recruitment, Taste of Love gives me my first taste of infatuation with a new tribe, a word I've never used before in that context. I quickly adopt tribe into my vocabulary until, years later, it feels conflicting and even repulsive. But on that hot and sweaty summer weekend, when I hug, laugh, dance, and exhale into om, my internal shift on the rain-soaked balcony becomes a reference point. I've experienced what thousands of people do when they begin to get hooked by a teacher or group, a feeling of a distinct before and after, of not wanting to be my old boring self anymore, a sense of tapping into something profound. It's like falling in love with so much potential. The spiritual festival, with its sexy vibe, is also my unintentional entry into cult journalism.